State Department officials are in Iraq today, talking with Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki ahead of John Kerry's visit to the region this weekend, and some of the 300 special ops military advisors tasked by President Obama with training Iraqi security forces are on their way as well, with anti-U.S. clerics warning those advisors will be attacked when they arrive. Today's Washington Post reports that the U.S. advisors will form small teams to analyze the Iraqi army, which largely collapsed in large areas of the country, now in the hands of the extremist group ISIS. What else will those advisors do? Rick Brennan is a senior political scientist at the RAND Corporation. As an army officer, he spent 5 years in Iraq assessing the Iraqi army, then 2 years writing a big report about it. And Rick, some people were shocked when parts of the Iraqi army shed uniforms and weapons and fled, but your thoughts?
I think that this was totally foreseeable by those of us who were watching where Iraq was at the end of 2011. The Army had some major capability shortfalls in both intelligence and air-to-ground support. But also what was occurring on the ground is you started to see an erosion of the professionalization that we had tried to instill in the officer corps starting in 2008-09, as Maliki replaced a large number of his senior leaders with Shia leaders who were loyal to him. If you look up in the two divisions that he had up north, the two that collapsed, they were a combination of Sunni, Shia, and Kurd. They were the least trained and least well-led of all the divisions. And so what happened was not was something that we should have been able to foresee.
Well, but you did foresee. You did this reporting. Who did you share it with?
Well, there were several reports that were done. One of the key findings that we had in that report that was published in November 2013 was that when you end a war, you need to think about it as you do starting a war. There needs to be a long-term policy and strategy to address the costs and risks associated with ending a war. That wasn't done when we left Iraq. In fact, the only type of war termination assessment that was done in Iraq by the forces of the field, where they looked at all the goals and objectives that had been assigned to them and determined that only 30% of them had been completed. Again, this was done in the field. It was not done in Washington. And if it had been, I think that we may have had a different approach to what we did in the aftermath of 2011.
Well, the U.S. spent $25 billion to try to create this non-sectarian professional army. This was a primary mission before leaving. It sounds like it didn't work. What happens now? You have this military force in Iraq that has been molded into one that's more Shia and more supportive of Prime Minister Maliki. On the other hand, you have the former army leaders, Ba'athists, who supported Saddam Hussein when that army was disbanded. They fled, and they're now supporting ISIS. When the trainers go, what will they be doing? You've researched this. What do these trainers do with Maliki's largely Shia army?
What it looks like they're going to do at this point is they're going to be doing an assessment of the status of the Iraqi security forces to provide that information to the White House. But I think more importantly, what they're going to be doing is to be working in two of the operation centers that control the divisions that will be in combat, the Iraqi divisions. And I think if the president chooses at some later point, it provides eyes on the ground with people on the ground to be able to assist in calling in aircraft for attacks on the ground. Obviously, that decision hasn't been made yet.
So it's interesting because these are being called trainers, but they really are more analysts. They're more spies for the U.S. They're more eyes on the ground, boots on the ground, to help both the U.S. and the Iraqis know who's who.
Yeah, they're trainers in the sense that they're going to advise and assist. But they aren't going to be trainers in the sense of how we had them on the ground before when they were training small units of forces. At this point in time, 300 forces, 300 people was just a drop in the bucket for what the Iraqi army would need to do any type of serious training.
Well, but those that are doing training, it sounds as if that will put them in harm's way. As I heard someone say today, if you're standing next to someone and saying, here's how you shoot at that person over there, you are still yourself on the line of fire.
Yeah, and that's absolutely true. And the question is, and what hasn't been disclosed at this point, is the degree to which you'll have these special operations forces forward with troops in combat to be those eyes on the ground to call in airstrikes than they are in harm's way. And that raises a whole range of issues about what happens if they get captured.
Well, how does this all square with what we heard from the president yesterday saying that we cannot support one side in this conflict? General Petraeus, also he was speaking in London, said the U.S. can't be the air force for the Iraqi government. Take one side in this conflict, the Shia side. We are hearing of these advisors and trainers that are going to be working pretty exclusively with the primarily Shia Maliki army.
The president is walking a very fine line on this because, as General Petraeus says, once you start using our aircraft to attack the Sunni, you're going to not only likely kill some Sunni civilians, but more than that, on a regional perspective, you're going to be sending the signal to all of our friends in the region, the Saudis, the Kuwaitis, the Bahrainis, that we are taking sides with a government that they feel has aligned themselves with Iran. And so this is a very dicey situation from a regional security perspective. On the other hand, if we don't do something to try to stop the fall of Baghdad, then we have a chance of having ISIS take control of the entire country. So we're walking a very fine line in this, and I'm not certain how much more we can do in supporting the government before we cross that line.
And you do think these 300 advisors can stop the fall of Baghdad?
I think what they'll do is provide the type of intelligence that the Iraqis don't have. And I think that's going to be a key thing to what we do. The airstrikes could also be used should there be a full-fledged assault on Baghdad, but it's very, very difficult to use and not target civilians at the same time.
Yeah. Rick Brennan, senior political scientist at the RAND Corporation. He was part of the U.S. Army team that assessed the Iraqi army while U.S. combat troops were based there. Rick, thanks for speaking to us about it.
You're welcome.
And again, 300 U.S. military advisors, as we speak, are on their way to Iraq.